I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss the latest regarding Athens' comprehensive plan, and we have more on T-SPLOS projects. All that and more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Blake Aud with Flagpole, Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, and Alice Kinman, a member of the 2018 Comprehensive Plan Steering Committee. So glad to have everybody here. And of course, we are going to start, Alice, with a little bit from you about this comprehensive plan, which is something that I understand we have to do every 10 years. As a member of the steering committee, can you tell me what the purpose of this comprehensive plan is for Athens-Clarke County?
Sure. The comprehensive plan is required by state law, and because of the size community we are, the type community we are, we do our own planning. And the basic nuts and bolts of the comprehensive plan include a set of guiding principles and policies, a list of what the state calls needs and opportunities, which are essentially challenges that we face and opportunities we have to improve, and a work plan. So if something goes into the comprehensive plan, it can't be ignored over time. It has to be filtered in over time into the work plan. We update that every 3 years, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, if y'all, maybe five. But and yes, it's really a 20-year planning horizon this time around, because this time, unlike all the past comp plans we've done, this process is very much informed by and driven by the Envision Athens process, which is a separate planning process. But to the degree that Envision Athens recommendations affect government operations, that input is filtering into the comp plan as well. So Envision Athens is a 20-year planning horizon. The comp plan is a 10-year planning horizon. But it is, the intent is for communities to be very transparent about what they intend to do, how they intend to grow. Because of the type of community that we are, we have zoning laws. We're also required to include a future land use plan. And we also include information about transportation planning and housing planning.
Would you say that the comprehensive plan is, would it be a bit more focused or less broad in its scope than Envision Athens?
Well, of course, the finished Envision Athens plan, it's still not completely done and published. But from what I've seen, Envision Athens is pretty specific. Both plans share is you sort of go from broad guiding principles, policies, to more specific strategies, actions. So there's a kind of a pyramid shape to both of those plans.
Well, I think the biggest difference, and it does, Envision Athens, I mean, it does drill down to specifics, but would be that the comp plan is really the government, whereas Envision Athens is really the whole community, and it talks about healthcare, the hospitals, the university, the nonprofit sector. So it's a lot. So the comp plan, I guess, would be much more focused specifically on government.
Right. And this is, I think, that was really what drove the Envision Athens process, is the government saw an opportunity, because we have to do this plan every 10 years anyway. The government saw an opportunity to pull together the other stakeholders that Blake just listed, so that we could all together sort of get outside of our silos and envision our community together. And that means the school district's going to take ownership of some things. The health community is going to take ownership of some things. But Blake's right, the comp plan, which is, again, required by state law, the comp plan will try to distill and boil down to issues that the government can actually affect.
Right. So I understand that there are still many opportunities for public input. There's no set time. As long as the plan is going on, people can have their say.
Yes, very much a living document, as they say. So listeners can go online. You can really just Google Athens-Clarke County Comprehensive Plan, and you'll get to the place where you can leave comments online. We encourage people to come to our steering committee meetings, where we also take public comment. You can see a schedule for those meetings there as well.
And I was going to say, Gwen went online today.
Yeah, I went online today and filled out the questionnaire that's currently Now, this is this one of many, or is this the only questionnaire that will be available to the public to give input through?
I haven't actually clicked on that questionnaire, so I'm not sure what it looks like, but I think it is the one that you would use to give input. Mm-hmm. But there's also an opportunity to comment on individual aspects of the plan.
Yeah, right, and that's much longer. Mm-hmm. Well, I really encourage people to go in and look at it and then come out and think about it, because it's a very sophisticated level of input that's being requested, you know, like whether it should be rural or we should save the rural feeling of Athens, and some really things that take a lot of education and terminology to be able to express yourself. So I think that's one level of input that I'm sure will be very valuable to you. And I encourage our listeners, who are some of the most intellectually accelerant people in town, to go in and give their input, because I think that's really important. But I just like we've so many of our great programs that we've done to do planning, our community has really cared about and gone through a number of processes for the inclusion of the community. But unfortunately, we always create programs where they have to come to us. And I was part of the outreach that occurred in the first, planning collaborative, and recognized how hard it is to go out, but how vitally important it is to go out and listen and use verbiage that is understandable by what really is a large proportion of our community. It was really interesting to think through on the level that was being asked. I'm a big supporter of the village concept. You can do anything. You can have high density. You can do historic design. You can do anything if you just set the parameters and give people the guidance. And developers have come back over and over again and said that they wanted that kind of guidance, that they recognized that it protected their investment as well as ensuring a more level playing ground for everyone. So it's a challenging time to look at all of those things at once.
Yeah, I would agree. It's a complex issue. It's a complex process, and the plan as it is right now is very much in progress. The draft we were looking at our meeting on Monday night was very preliminary. So there's a lot that's going to happen between now and when it's actually due to the state in July 1st. And there will be meetings between now and then, opportunities for public input. And we have asked staff to take some of the meetings out into the community. So I hope we will have some meetings at the high schools, for example, and not every single one will be at the planning auditorium.
Right. But that's, again, creating our spaces for them to come to. And I think schools are our greatest place for bringing community together. But I really think that we need to go out of meetings into reaching out for the kind of contact that you learn from people that might not be in meetings. So they're not going to speak up in meetings.
Yeah, I was just asking, Gwen, like, so what sort of things, if you can think of something off the top of
it? Before what we did was we went to small group, like, prayer meetings in different parts of the community. We went to those. That was very interesting and productive. Then we did programs in a number of the community centers at the Housing Authority when they had their neighborhood meetings. And, of course, the Housing Authority has the neighborhood associations people. And that's just a part of our community, but it's an easy way to get to and a part of our community that's often not a part of our planning process.
Well, I do think we had a diverse group at the Envision Athens meetings. I mean, those were pretty well attended, especially the first round of them. I think the ones that I attended or that somebody from Flagpole attended mm-hmm. had 400 or 500 people at them.
I agree.
And there were various places around the community. And they were a more diverse group. I mean, just eyeballing it, you know, than you usually would see showing up at a government meeting.
That was my experience, too.
Yeah.
But I think that now that it's moved into the comp plan phase and the Envision Athens, at least the public input portion of it is done, it's really gotten overshadowed. And there was so much going on in the past few months with these state house elections and with, you know, a lot of other kind of government-related things going on where, you know, a lot of times you would have like 3 or 4 meetings in one night that somebody who's civically involved might want to go to all of them, but you can't, you know. So the comp plan meetings themselves where public input was taken were not well attended at all.
That's
there were
true.
Maybe 20 or 30 people at most.
And we certainly have concerns about that. Of course, as I said, all the public input that came through the Envision Athens Committee is on our plates right now. We have all of it in various forms. We are treating the public input process that Envision Athens used as our own as well. But we wanted to have public input for the comp plan, too, because there are plenty of people who have been involved, as Gwen suggests, in past iterations of that, and that's how they know to provide input. So the Envision Athens may or may not have been something they participated in or understood, so we wanted to make sure that they have further opportunities as we're putting together this government document.
You know, Alice, I really wonder, as I looked at it, how much of this is a structure provided by the state, or have we, you know, I'm just curious.
It's very much, and of course, that's one of the challenges we were facing at our meeting on Monday is, you know, we sort of de-siloed in the Envision Athens process, and you kind of have to almost re-silo in order to produce the comp plan because it has to have specific sections mandated by the state. So we have to have the needs and opportunities section. Our staff they went through hundreds and hundreds of comments and pulled in every comment that they thought might relate to something that government can affect, and they stuck them under different needs and opportunities, and now our job is to sort of sort through those and, combine where needed, eliminate some that really should maybe be on the hospital's plate or the school district's plate. It is a organization, a structure, a formula that's set by the state that we have to conform to.
And I don't think our listeners know at this point who consists of the comp plan committee.
The Planning Commission in its entirety is on the committee. We have two commissioners, Sharon Dickerson and Jared Bailey, Deborah Lunnan, who is the director of Housing and Community Development. I'm sorry, it's not Housing and Community. It is Housing and Community Development.
That's right, yeah.
I think that's it.
So they're all people who have been involved, you know, that kind of in-house people.
Well, uh-huh. Planning Commission, we don't like to think of ourselves as in-house.
Right.
We're citizens appointed by the mayor.
You've been trained. Right?
We spent a lot of time together, that's for sure.
Right. And you've been making these decisions for a good while, and I think it's a really invaluable knowledge to bring to the table for this. But I wonder what kind of education or expansion of what we've been doing that we're looking at. Let me throw out one that I thought of today when I was going. It's when I was in New York, they had gender-free restrooms and had made that rule, and it was really a savings for the businesses in the long run, et cetera. Are we looking at anything like that, any kind of progressive statement like, Jack Crowley has just worked out an investment group that's bought the railroad track that's been in sitting there waiting for somebody for a long time. Are those the kind of things that we're going to, the downtown development plan, Oconee's going through this at the same time where we talk with our neighbors that affect us so much?
The way this is set up, the structure from the state, maybe it's too much to say discourages cooperation across county lines, but it'd be hard to find where to insert that into the process. The rail line that you're talking about, the tracks you're talking about, I have seen that is the comments about that are already in there. don't think I've seen anything about gender-free restrooms, but I would encourage people to read through it. It's a lot to read. Maybe if you're having some insomnia, it might be a good time to pick it up. But the variety and diversity of comments are pretty striking.
And one thing I would add too is that when you put something in the comp plan, you have to do it.
Right.
So maybe something like the railroad, you know, that would be nice to put in maybe as like work towards or like have it be a goal, you know, but there's so many unknowns with that that, you know, putting something specific, I think, in that plan, you know, might not be the best idea because there are a lot of things that could happen that would make it, you know, unworkable.
Right, right.
But, you know, we can use language like explore the feasibility of.
Sure, right, right.
But that is, you know, that's the challenge with the comp plan is looking at the wide diversity of needs and interests and desires that citizens have and then trying to distill it into a plan that gives the government a checklist of things to work on.
Right. I think so often that we are, when we develop our planning, who's at the table is so important to us. And the Planning Commission is the bones of our design, our structure that we wish to have, the rules, et cetera. I just wonder sometimes how easy it is for us to get out of the status quo or the tradition and truly use this comp plan to plan for the next 20 years. Don't anybody talk to my husband because he believes that the alternative automobile is on its way and that the flip that will occur in our society is unforeseen but will be very quick. Look at how quickly digital TVs took over or whatever, you know. So anyway, I think it's an opportunity to be a little more. I'd hate to see us constrained by the state's limited vision. I'd love to see us go beyond that.
Yeah, but since I think Blake brought up something interesting, is that we have to do it if it's in the plan.
And if it's not in the comp plan, that doesn't mean that we can't do it either.
Right.
You know, I'm not limiting in the sense that right. We could only do what's in this plan.
But we're making so much out of making a plan. We're developing so much money that we've committed in our citizens' time. I think in the past, I think more came out of past planning programs than we give it credit because they weren't tooted as products that came out of those planning things.
Well, I definitely would encourage. I'm sorry to interrupt, but
no.
But if you look at our last plan, I can list several things that are on the ground right now in Athens-Clarke County that are there because they were in the comp plan.
Right.
The farmers market is a good example. The Athens farmers market. If it's in the plan. It will appear somewhere in the community. So you're right. It's very important that we put the things in the plan that we really do want for our community. Mm-hmm. Planning, 10-year horizon planning is hard.
Yes, it is. It's challenging.
And to give folks an idea of just how influential this thing is, though, I mean, you being formerly being on the commission, Alice, I mean, when you got your agenda reports for various things that you would vote on, I mean, they would list the goals and objectives that were met, you know, in the comp plan by everything that you did. I mean, if there was something applicable, you know,
everything that the Mayor and Commission votes on, we have an understanding of how it is working toward fulfilling the comp plan, and that's true for the Planning Commission too, which we focus strictly on land use decisions, but you know, zoning and that kind of thing. But every staff report that we get explains how this proposed development relates to our future development map and our comprehensive plan, guiding principles even.
Right. Well, I want to take this opportunity to thank Alice because she jumped out of the frying pan into the fire kind of when she quit the commission and her leadership in the T-SPLOS and participation in the Planning Commission. And we really appreciate your citizenship.
Thank you. It's a great town to be a citizen of.
Yeah, you've been real busy, Alice. As Gwen brought up, you wore a different hat when it came to our recent T-SPLOS projects, T-SPLOS 2018. Tell us a little bit about your involvement there.
Well, I had the honor of chairing the Citizen Advisory Committee, and if you want to talk about a diverse group, I really do want to play that up a little bit here. Every commissioner had and the mayor appointed two people. So geographically, we were by definition diverse because we were from all the different districts. But it was a very diverse group in terms of race, age, and gender as well. It wasn't the usual suspects. I mean, some of us were. I mean, I suppose I count as that. But there are some new faces of young people and new faces of older people, too. And it was a very dynamic process as we got to know each other. We got to understand each other's priorities. You know, you might have one group that came in all ready to put a bike lane on every single street, and then another group coming in thinking, if they don't fill the potholes in my road, And what was good about the process is that those groups listened to each other and understood why those are priorities. So I think that's I really attribute the sizable win of the TSPLOS to the diversity of my committee and how well it worked together to put together a list of projects that really will affect everybody. I mean, everybody will be touched one way or another once these are on the ground.
Well, and the fact that it passed by 50 points, it was 75% in favor. I mean, I think that's a testament to the list you all put together.
We were really proud of that. We were biting our nails at the end. We ran a campaign on a very shoestring budget, lots of free labor. I've got to give a big shout out to my vice chair, Lauren Blaze, who ran the website and the Facebook campaign. And so we relied a lot on those low-cost ways of getting the message out. But, yeah, I don't know if that's a record for a SPLOS passing, but it's got to be close.
It's very close. It was that's the first one, of course, we've had in our community.
I want to say it's the last SPLOS was like 65-35, maybe.
Yeah, I think 2011 was about
that. This first SPLOS was almost 68, and that's the closest I remember. So it really was a great testimony. Yeah. I bragged on my district last week, so I won't do that again. But I will say that I think this was a huge testimony in Athens to the recognition not only of the importance of transportation, the loss of funding from the state, but also I feel like that it was really a statement of the fact that we know that one penny more is getting us a lot. It was a statement of support for the special purpose local option sales tax. And if our state keeps pulling out the rug underneath us, other communities will follow this.
It was also a statement of support, I think, for the projects on the list,
yeah.
Especially the things like the Firefly Trail and the Greenway, sidewalks, bike lanes that a lot of people have poo-pooed over the years. That goes to show you just how popular these things really are.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And I think people really understood the message that things like we used to call, the nice-to-haves, the trails and the sidewalks and the bike lanes, that those are legitimate nodes of our transportation network. People will use them to get places as well as use them for recreation, which is important as well. Relating back to the comp plan issue, one of the things that made my committee's job doable was that we do a good bit of planning in this community. So we could look at the, for example, transit development plan. Athens Transit does a lot of work with planning, and they get a lot of community input. So you could pull those projects right out of the plan and have a lot of confidence that those are projects that people actually want. And that's true for sidewalks, too. We have a bike ped master plan that's actually still in progress. It should be completed pretty soon. The West Broad Street sidewalk improvement projects come out of a plan put together for that neighborhood in partnership with the neighbors and Athens Land Trust and Athens Housing Authority. So when you have good plans, as Gwen was suggesting, with good quality community input, you can be confident that then the community will support those projects when they come before them.
And we have the plans, and all we needed was the money.
We needed the money, yes.
They talked about this at the work session. In the referendum, it gave the commission, I think, the permission to bond out, I think, $90 million. Mm-hmm. And it's looking like they're probably not going to have to bond out any because these projects are in the planning stages, where as the money comes in, we can just go ahead and build them. We don't need the money up front. So,
That's right.
These things are going to be on the ground within all of them. I think they said should be on the ground within 12 months after the end of the tax. So that'd be 6.5 years away.
Mm-hmm. And that's my
which is hope. Incredibly fast.
Yeah, I was thinking that's pretty
compared
fast.
To Spiel,
and it's true. I mean, that's the advantage of these transportation projects, as Blake just said. They are planned. There's a process. So now we can take the plans off the shelf.
Well, the other thing about, I think, transportation is the fact that these kind of plans, they're visible to people. We need to be clear with that penny that this has happened. And I hope that we'll keep our community involved in the same way that we have with the SPIOS Monitoring Committee, because I think that gives, I know just in my district, I get a lot of calls from people who want to know what's going on. And because, you know, each district is represented, it does a good job of keeping the credibility of SPIOS
high. Right. Yeah. Well, my assumption is that they'll appoint a Citizen Oversight Committee for this mm-hmm. referendum as well. So that's how we do things in Athens.
That's right.
There still is a lot left to be decided. I mean, you know, in terms of where the sidewalk goes.
Oh, yeah. That's
and a lot
why
of these
they need
kind
a committee.
Vaguer, more vague projects like, you know, like the gateways, right. Atlanta Highway and Lexington Road and Prince, what exactly, you know, that money is going to go towards. So.
Yeah. And the more they include citizen advisory groups in each one of the projects, the stronger the ownership becomes. It lessens complaints amazingly when people have stuck their neck out and made the decision. They know that Charlie did his best or whoever their friend was on there.
Charlie did his
that
best.
That sort of thing. Right.
Thank you, Gwen. Alice, is there anything else that you want the community to know about the comprehensive plan process before we wrap up?
We, as a committee, will meet, I believe, two more times this year. Then we'll sort of kick it off again in January. By that time, we'll probably be meeting about twice a month in order to make the deadline of July. So I would just really encourage people who are interested in this. Well, I would encourage people to get interested in this to visit the website and try to get a sense of what's in the plan and what they would like to see in it.
And when is there going to be a draft of the actual land use map?
We are going to be looking at that at our December 11th meeting, I believe. Okay. I would need to look at my calendar.
Well, that's right around the corner.
That's what's going to get, I think, a lot of attention when you see that, when you see that map and you see where the growth is going to be. You know, having it funneled downtown was kind of a controversial decision, but, you know, there could be other things like that that, you know, I always tell people if they wonder, why is this happening? Like, well, you know, 20 years ago, somebody decided that this is where it was going to be, and now it's happening.
And density is not a negative if it's done correctly, you know.
Right. Well, I think that Blake's right, and you know, one of the things that people will be asking about again is, you know, do we preserve the green belt the way we have for the last 20 years?
Right.
So, there's some very important issues surrounding just that portion of the plan that definitely will affect you, wherever you live.
Alice, we were talking about the importance of district representation on the TSPOS committee. Is the Planning Commission, what kind of district representation does it get?
The Planning Commission is appointed by the Mayor and Commission, so you apply and get interviewed and get appointed, but it's not district specific.
No, but how well are the districts represented on the Planning Commission at this time?
There's a whole bunch of y'all from Five Points.
There's a lot of us from Five Points.
There's a whole bunch of Five Points.
Going through my list right now, we're pretty evenly divided between, you know, inside the loop, outside the loop.
Well, that's good.
But the inside the loop is fairly concentrated in Five Points. That's true.
All right. We are out of time. I do want to thank my guests, Blake Odd, Gwen O'Looney, and Alice Kinman. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, or WXAG. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.